peeps, welcome to the Sex and Sensuality for Church Girls podcast. I am your host, Luz Selenia, founder and owner of The Radiant Sessions, certified spiritual life coach and professional life coach, energy healer, meditation guide, and your priestess of sensuality.
Hola, everyone. So I should be asleep. I should have recorded this earlier. ADHD is kicking my ass. I didn't sleep well last night, and so I woke up late today, which means I didn't take my meds because it was late, because it is a stimulant, and I wanted to be able to go to sleep, and yet here I am, still not asleep, and I have to be at the gym at 8:30 in the morning. But I figured probably what I should have did last night, since I probably didn't sleep maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, which is, well, I'm up, so let's record because I have things to talk about. I'm actually recording the video. I haven't been posting the videos. I'm still in the bed currently although I'm awake, I don't feel like getting out of the bed to do this. So I'm in the bed and we're going to talk. There's a lot been happening in my personal life, but also out in in social media about, I guess, notable people. I won't even say celebrities, but notable people. And they all kind of relate. So let's get into it. So by now, if you're on social media, you know about Derrick Jackson and his soon-to-be ex-wife, Denea Jackson. Now, if you don't, let me please look him up, but I'll give you a quick synopsis. So he has risen to internet fame over the years by positioning himself as a relationship expert. For the longest time, it seemed as if he was single. Now, granted, I have never been a fan of that whole relationship expert kind of thing, especially from men that do it and make women their target audience. But I would catch his stuff every so often. And being that I wasn't a fan, it never really occurred to me that he actually was married until sometime during the pandemic when scandal broke out with him cheating on his wife. Now, also at that time, it became apparent that they were both Christian. And so he and his wife were doing videos talking about that. And unfortunately, Sister Denea did one video in particular where she was very relaxed. She had like a bonnet on her head. And he's somebody who, you know, people find attractive. He'd be in the gym. And so a lot of people were talking bad about her and her appearance. And, you know, people love to use that as the reason why men are justified in cheating, or that's the reason why they cheat. Even though she's a beautiful woman, she's just not an Instagram baddie kind of sis. And so here it is again. He is embarrassing her very publicly because he was caught, I think, in one instance down at Art Basel in Miami with a woman who is not his wife. And he promptly went on Instagram and posted an announcement asking people to give him and his wife their privacy because they had decided earlier this year to get a divorce. Now, a couple weeks ago, I think it's been a couple weeks, maybe a little bit longer, Denea herself went viral because she decided that she was going to use the Book of Psalms to curse people for bringing division into their marriage and for lying on her husband. And one, a lot of people were taken aback because they don't read the Book of Psalms and don't realize that stuff was in there and that she was actually quoting scripture. And two, didn't realize that people actually use the Book of Psalms and other passages in the Bible to curse people, and i.e. witchcraft. And that's something that has been done for a very long time. That is not a new thing. And third, you know, were very up in arms that she would come after people, you know, in the internet for what they're saying about her husband, as opposed to going after her husband. Now, the scripture she used, when I heard her, as much as her intention, or she thought that she was coming against external factors that were trying to break up her marriage, I knew that that was going to backfire, because the person and the people who are most responsible for marriage are the people in the marriage. And so if your husband's cheating, which we already knew at the time that he had already done it in the past, and you want to come and use the Bible to curse people for coming against your marriage, ma'am, the person coming against your marriage the strongest is your own husband. And so for that to happen, and then, you know, here we are this week, and he is using a picture of him picking her up where they appear happy to announce that they decided to get divorced earlier this year. Now, when I read that, my question was how early? Like yesterday early? Last week early? Because 2 weeks ago, she was cursing people for lying on you. And we're in December. So 2022 is almost done. So what does earlier in the year actually mean? We'll probably never know. Now, it's a really sad, and a lot of people, you know, calling her stupid, calling her all kinds of things. And as a church girl, as a Black woman who was raised and grew up in the church, it saddens me to see Danaya go through this. Now, again, if you know me, you know my platform, you know that I am always talking about taking accountability and the responsibility that we have for ourselves and healing and all of these things. But I will never, ever, ever, ever say that you are to blame for what has happened to you, even if it is your responsibility to heal from it. And quite frankly, we also have to acknowledge, or we should be acknowledging, that that does not take the place for the revolution that needs to happen in these systems and structures that are oppressing us, including religion, patriarchy, white supremacy, misogynoir, et cetera, et cetera. And what we are seeing in Derek and Danaya Jackson, her as a church girl who's doing the things that we are taught to do to protect our husbands, to protect our marriages, to be, you know, and of course, visibly very, very different in her attire and her appearance from the woman and women that Derek cheats on her with. And that being very jarring, because again, we are told, we are taught, we are conditioned that a godly man wants a very specific kind of woman. They want her to look, you know, a certain way, be pure, look pure. You are an extension, a representation of your husband, of the church. And so being sexy is not something that you should be. And although we have seen, you know, you see pictures of her where she's, you know, done up and looking gorgeous, most of what we've seen of her is a representation of a woman who in my opinion, because I was that woman, it's very drained, it's tired. And the last thing on her list is trying to, she's probably not even considering her appearance. She doesn't even have the spoons to consider her appearance. And of course, you know, the immature people will say, well, that's her fault. And again, yes, personal responsibility, but it's much more nuanced than that. On Sunday at my church, at the very end of service, a woman, not even a man, a Black woman decided to extend the service and make an announcement saying that she felt in her spirit to pray specifically for single women. Now, I've been in church my entire life. So the moment that she makes that announcement, I am already on alert, because there has never been an instance where someone made that statement and what followed was not toxic. I listened, and unfortunately, she proved me right. Because immediately after, she says, if there are single women in the sanctuary who desire to be married, to come up and get prayer, because we don't know, you know, we out here talking about that there's no good men, and there are good men, and we just need to know how, we need to learn how to cook, and we need to learn how to shut our mouths, because these men don't even know if they don't even know if they can even trust us with their business, or we're going to run our mouths, and we need to know how to keep house. And calls out our first lady and says to her that we need to start a ministry specifically for single women, because it's taking too long for us to get married. And that marital counseling is important, but that's not teaching us how to be a good wife. I was and still am livid that that happened. Livid it happened, that she did it. Livid that no one in authority in that church stopped it. No one in authority in that church, even after it happened, denounced what she did. They went along with it. And there were women who went up there for prayer for, I'm sure, various reasons. I imagine, because again, I'm livid, because I would have been that woman a few years ago who heard what she said and would have agreed with her. That it's our fault, that there's something wrong with us. Because again, there's a very specific role that women are supposed to fill in order to be married. And so if you're not married, it's taking you too long. It's your fault. Never mind that the rhetoric of telling women that they need to learn how to shut up is also being used to keep women in abusive relationships. Never mind that as grown people, we should know how to feed ourselves. So it should not be that a woman is more responsible for feeding her family than a man is, or feeding themselves for that matter, or keeping a house. Now, I understand that that was a dynamic that was in place in previous generations for very real reasons, because women weren't legally allowed to do certain things without a man. Now, Black women always worked. White women fought for the right to work. Black women always worked. And so while they're working in the fields or working in the factories and then coming home and taking care of their families and their husbands, and you're still telling women, now, grant, you know what? as a, if you're married, because she was married, and if you are absolutely happy with that in your marriage, by all means, go for it. But the fact that she used the pulpit to manipulate and abuse these women vexed me. And so when all this stuff is going on with Danae and Derek, and, you know, to be vexed by, because I'm a member of this church, I've been a member of this church for 17 years, that someone in leadership at my church would say that, and then to see what's going on and all the things that people are saying about Danae, which is so unfair, that there are some people who are rightfully calling Derek out, but so many people are focusing on Danae as the problem. And yeah, you know, in my journey, I've had to really look at what roles I've played in my own abuse, in my own oppression. It's why I do this work, because until we start to really interrogate what we believe and start to deconstruct and decolonize, that's one of the things that I think a lot of church people don't understand, that deconstruction and decolonizing our beliefs, if we're serious about it, is absolutely going to take place with our faith. But it's not just about our faith. We are deconstructing and decolonizing all of our beliefs at some point, not all at the same time, but it's not just about the church. That's a huge part of it, especially for those of us who were raised in the church. Obviously, it's going to be a huge part of it, but it's not just about the church. We are not saying that the church is the only problem. We are recognizing that society, white supremacy, all of these things are playing huge roles in our lives. And while we each take our role in trying to change the systems and structures, we have to do that work internally in order to be able to show up differently when we're talking about social justice. Because if you don't change your beliefs, then how do you go and fight for change meaningfully out in the world? And so I wish we could have more grace for the Danae's. I can only imagine if in the darkest times of my trauma, before I started to do this work and started to heal, if that was being plastered all over the internet and hearing people say, because they would have said the same things, if not worse, about me that they are saying about Danae. I was almost 300 pounds. And my ex was abusing me and cheating on me. And I know, based off what I see on the internet, that men and women alike would have been saying all kind of nasty things about how I deserved it. Because I did not take care of myself. I gained weight. I was unattractive. I was this. I was that. Overwhelmingly, people would not have had grace for me. And Danae, you know, as a dark-skinned woman, because I have light-skinned privilege, as a darker, you know, complected woman compared to myself, which I know that also plays a role in that experience for her. Like, I really wish that we could see how much we put on women for being at fault for their own abuse and oppression. And while being honest and being able to say, hey, like, that was really wild that you out here cursing people. But again, even with that, like, she's using what she was taught to bind the hands of the enemy. Because she really, I know she really believed. And I'm sure Derek had a role to play in making her believe and in brainwashing her to believe that it's the enemy that's attacking me. It's the enemy that's attacking us. Not that he is the enemy in their relationship. He's being tempted. What is that? Where does that come from? When we hear in church that it is a woman's responsibility to dress a certain way so we don't tempt our brothers in Christ, it's the same thing. And women perpetuate it because then when we're married or in a relationship and he cheats with a woman who dresses, you know, scantily clad, then we get to blame her instead of holding him accountable for not having self-control and self-discipline, for not honoring his commitment to you that he made, that he would be monogamous. We get to blame her. And why do we blame her? Because although at some level it feels horrible to stay with him, we're also told that our value as a woman is determined by being chosen by a man. Because the Bible says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So if you a wife, then you must be a good thing. But if you're not a wife and you haven't been found, then you ain't showing people that you a wife. So you must not be a good thing. Because as I'm sitting there on Sunday and she's saying that women gotta learn how to cook and they gotta learn how to shut up and they gotta learn how to keep house. If I was feeling differently, I might have went down there and say, okay, so what about those of us like myself who throw down in the kitchen, who keeps my mouth shut, who keeps a nice house, who knows how to clean, who will cater to her man, will do all the things, what you gonna say to me? Now, I wouldn't ask that question because I already know what they're going to say. Oh, you need to be more modest. You need to dress more modestly. A man of God doesn't want his woman to dress like that. I already know. It's not like I haven't been told that before. And if I genuinely chose to dress more modestly for whatever the reason, that would be on me. But I don't, not to get a husband. Why? Because if I did it, I know that I'd be doing it under false pretenses. And a man is going to be a man regardless, whatever that means to him. And so if he doesn't find value in me because I dress sexy, he ain't gonna really value me just because I dress modestly. He'll be the same man lusting after half-naked women on the internet and in real life, if not actually cheating on me with those women. Just like Derek Jackson has been doing to Danae. And so my prayer for the Danae's of the world is that they wake up and realize that what they've been taught is harming them. And that they decide to take the the hard, it's hard. It's not easy. The hard, but very necessary and very worthy journey to start to unpack and unlearn and deconstruct and then rebuild. I pray that she actually, that man walk out, they get divorced. I pray that she doesn't let him come back. Because a man like that, even if they do get divorced, when he realizes that the women that he's with may not, probably won't accept the abuse that Danae has been accepting for years. I've never read his book, but I was watching a creator on TikTok who said she was gifted the book, one of his books, where he talks about their relationships and how often, whenever he gets tired, he just leaves and he comes back and she takes him back. When she's tried to leave, he's convinced her to take him back. And so I pray that this is the last time. I pray that she cuts that cord and she don't let him come back this time, so she can start to heal and realize that what we've been taught, that's not God. That is not God's will for us as women, as Christian women. That so much of what we have been taught is like the yellow brick road to abuse. That ain't God. I'm so tired of this very harmful rhetoric that clearly is still being perpetuated across the pulpit, because it just happened in my church just this past Sunday. And for all the pastors who are so concerned about people not coming back, including my own, not coming back to the church after the pandemic, and this stuff is still happening, and I'm like, why are y'all so confused? People are tired. I am tired. I am fed up that we have not graduated past this yet. Single women who for so much have been the backbone of the church, and yet we are constantly targeted for this kind of abuse. And yet we stay at church. We stay in these relationships. So much of my abusive relationship, it parallels to the things that I learned in church. Being told to forgive over and over again. The way we elevate Black men, and they should be, but not at the expense and well-being of Black women. And it's not even, again, not just Black men who do it, it's Black women. We do it to each other. We are in bondage, and so we want to keep, and it's like Stockholm Syndrome. And so people like me who waving the banner, and other women like me and other men like me who are waving the banner and saying, no, 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 no. There's better. This ain't what they told you. You're not really free. You're in bondage, but you can be free. We are looked at as dangerous. They whisper about us, or they tell it to our faces. But I will not be quiet. I will not shut up. I will not stay in my place, whatever the fuck that means. Negative. If that means that one, if I can help one person, it'll be worth it. And I say person because I guarantee you, even though that I was abused by a Black man, he is in bondage too. And I want him to be free as well. It's a lot of work to do. But I'm here for it. I'm doing my part. I urge you, even if you just share this episode with someone, do your part. We gotta stop this. Even if it's just one at a time. You can't do this no more. People are hurting way too much. We deal with way too much. Like, how can we, in one instance, talk about how powerful God is, and then in the next breath, tell women that they, and reduce them to being a cook and a maid. So I'm going to end that episode here. Because I can go on and on, and I don't want to rant forever. Plus, I think I just needed to get that out. So I can go to sleep and make it to the gym at 8:30. Yeah. I'll get a good 6 hours. I love you all. If you are listening to this on December 14th and you haven't joined the Radiant Session Society and it's before 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you still have time, go to the link in the show description and you can join the group. We are going to be talking about the three things that I believe everyone needs to start and to have a successful healing journey. I'm going to be sharing some more intimate details about my own journey and be making a very special announcement that will only be extended to I don't even have a number yet, probably 10 people that sign up. So join the group. I think I might, depending on what happens in the session, I may or may not save it if you do join the group and or can't make it. Depends how I'm feeling and what spirit says. So if you can make it live, because it may not be saved. All right, well, that is this week's episode, and as always, be as radiant as the sun. Adios, good night. Mwah.